Here the F we go, man. Oh my God. Oh man, it is the last Sunday of the year. Last Sunday of the year, 12/31/23. And
one, two, three.
Yeah. There it is. Shout out to everybody getting married on today because it's 1-2-3-1-2-3. I know y'all thought about it. I know y'all did it, you know. Man, hey, there's more to talk about than we expected. So man, it's only right, man. We get right to it. It is time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. And we really proved that in a real way. If you were unaware, this is your first time checking out one of my episodes, and maybe the second time because the last one had you a little effed up. Hey, man, you're in for a treat because it's more the same. We're here to do this. And this is called the First Black Champ Podcast. And I am the nasty black individual, the igniter, the pick, Camp from the Port.
Yo, and I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download Barbershed Network, home of First Black Champ. You can listen to all of our episodes right there, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, everything, dfbc.pod. Click the link in the bio. You got that merch. You know what I'm saying? You see Camp with the sunshine yellow on. So, man, go ahead and get that merch as well. And first off, Happy New Year to everyone who has checked out an episode of ours all year long, man.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate it. Shouts out to the home team at Barber's Chair Network. Shouts out to Scott and company. You know what I'm saying? And we have an exciting show today. let's talk about New Year's resolutions, right? Yeah. So one of my New Year's resolutions was to start taking time out to create more clips for the show. We have a very entertaining show. We have been doing this for a number of years. And, you know, we don't get as much content out as we want to, you know. Now, you know, we both have full-time jobs. You know, Camp at one point had 15. At one time, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, we have like real jobs. So sometimes, and then like I have 3 kids, you know, that, you know, if you've listened to this show since its inception, you've literally grown up with my kids. The show started off with hearing Trey in the background and then Landon in the background, and now it's Landon and Liam, the tag team champions you will hear in the background. So we had a lot of stuff that's going on, but I promised myself and I promised Kent from the Port that we was gonna get a bit more content out there, and that's been happening. You've seen some throwback content, you've seen more clips, and one of which just so happened to went viral.
Hey, with that one.
So, yeah. So last week on the show, I asked Camp a question, like a wrestler. When you grew up, a wrestler that you used to see, like, why is Buddy winning matches?
Right.
Like, how is Buddy successful? And Camp from the Port said, Greg the Hammer Valentine. Which, I am not going to lie, it was a lot more people that agree with you than I thought was going to agree with you.
Right.
Let me just say this. I did not expect the amount of people that was like, yo, he looked like an old lady gym teacher and all of that stuff. I was shocked.
Yeah.
What I wasn't shocked at was the amount of people who disagreed, and the way that they disagreed, I just didn't think as of this morning that video was going to be viewed over 50,000 times on on Facebook alone, and I don't even know. Sometimes you put the video on Instagram, it goes like that. Video has almost 100,000 views off of Instagram and Facebook. It's not, it was not on the plan, Kemp.
No,
so we have to start the show off with Greg the Hammer Valentine.
For sure.
Valentine, not Valentine.
Yeah, right. Not Valentine. It's Valentine.
Valentine. And the reaction. When once you start getting the alerts of the shares and the comments, what was your thoughts on the people's reaction to your disdain as a kid growing up? Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah. Well, first, I didn't even believe it was like me or us. I was like, yo, what did I get tagged in? I get tagged in some scam? Like, what happened? So once I checked my notifications, I was like, oh, the Greg the Hammer Valentine video. And so, and then I'm like, because the way you chop it up, super nice. I know what you do. I know how you can, you know what I'm saying, get the clips going. I was like, oh, this is hilarious. People just laughing at Bangs
and I'm gonna get to the promo edition once he's done, y'all.
Yeah. So, but then I happened to go look through the comments and I was like, oh, y'all fans of dude. Oh, y'all like this is what happened. I was like, oh wait, you mad? I need to watch more Greg the Hammer Valentine matches. What? Like, why? And then it was like, oh, I think The Rock is the GOAT. How do we get there from that? And so from there, right, I sit there and I was like, yo, out of all the things that I had to say about wrestling this year, me wondering why Greg the Hammer Valentine was successful was not at the top 20 of those. But hey, look, this ain't the first time this year that I've ignited fans of somebody subpar with their craft, and this led to a couple of other videos. This ain't the first time, all right? Something about you par niggas, y'all seem to be upset with me every time I want to tell the truth, and it don't matter. Hey, listen, spoiler alert, here to triple down. I'll watch y'all 1983 matches, okay? I'll watch the ones when I was a toddler. Fine. It's not going to change my mind because he's still him. It ain't been a doc yet. And when you run it through all the other greats of that era, top 10 matches, he ain't in them. But to answer your question directly again, I was shocked. It was hilarious. I had no idea it would take off like that. But yeah, it didn't change anything other than like, yeah. See, there's people that really know what I'm saying, and then there's people that just don't know what I'm saying, and I'll tell you why later after Bang goes here.
Okay, so look, I watch wrestling. I would watch wrestling all day long if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Starrcade 83, y'all. I've seen it many a times. I've seen Starrcade 83 more than probably a 41-year-old man should. Mm-hmm. Right? I've even went back and saw, you know, watched some of the Bob Backlund, Greg the Hammer Valentine matches. I've watched, you know, him break Wahoo McDaniel's leg. You know, the whole Tito Santana thing. I'm cool with Greg the Hammer Valentine. I'm not the defender of Greg the Hammer Valentine, though.
Yeah.
And that's why I hope those folks, and talking directly to the folks that were vehemently disagreeing. Like, if you disagree, you know, it was a couple of people that I was having conversations with in the comment section that disagreed, but they understood why. Like, And yes, I cut it. I'm not about to put up in the you know, when you was two, you know, and I don't know.
Yeah, no,
no, because it's really not to shit on Greg to have a Valentine. It's just to get engaged in conversation. So when I put it there, you know, it was mainly because, hey, there's other people that watch wrestling like us that grew up and watched wrestlers win and be like, yo, because I'll give y'all another one. Right, and this is probably not gonna cause as much controversy, I don't think, as Greg the Hammer Valentine. But I thought Dino Bravo sucked. Like, I thought Dino Bravo was terrible and didn't understand how he was winning matches, even with the finisher that he had. There's a number of wrestlers that I grew up watching, and I start watching wrestling 86, 87. There's a couple of wrestlers that I can name that I'm like, why is dude successful?
Yeah.
But that's me growing up in that era. If you were a teenager watching Greg the Hammer Valentine, you're going to feel differently than me because you grew up in a whole total different era than I did. You grew up in the All-American Wrestling era. You grew up in the grainy color video era. You grew up in the studio era, right? Mm-hmm. You know, where you was watching Georgia Championship Wrestling, you know, Mid-South and some of these others, you know, NWA, Mid-Atlantic, where they were studio-based.
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up watching the Briscoe Brothers. You grew up watching Greg the Hammer Valentine. You grew up watching a young Ricky Steamboat. You grew up watching Ric Flair, Harley Race, Chief J Strongbow. The list goes on and on. But for some of those wrestlers I named, by 1986, 87, when we're watching wrestling and we understand, them niggas old.
Ain't nobody talking about them like that.
Right. Ain't they past their prime, fam? They are in the WWE to collect a check. Literally, they're like, yo, the territories are over. Vince McMahon is offering all this money. Yo, I'm out. I'm about to go get this check. So they will tell you, hey, man, 86, 87, fam. Yeah, I was trying to get that money. You know what I'm saying? And, right. and if you look at that time frame that we put in the comment section, mm-hmm. when we started watching wrestling, man, WrestleMania 1 is old. WrestleMania 2 is done. WrestleMania 3 is finishing up. Greg the Hammer Valentine last won a championship in that era. He, matter of fact, he lost it at WrestleMania 3 mm-hmm. with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Another wrestler, I don't understand how he was winning matches. But he was younger. So basically, y'all, what I'm telling you, old Margs, is this. If you grew up in a certain era, just let it be. Because we killed some kids for saying that Royal Rumble 95 was terrible.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they were kids. So right. while we killed them, we was like, all right, though, we understand why you was like, Manitar, who the fuck is this? Like, we understand you was like, Bastion Booger, come on, fam. Like, right. I remember him as Norman the Lunatic, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Like, you remember Kevin Sullivan before his stomach was wide. I only remember Kevin Sullivan as the swole, stubby, fat dude. They hated Hulk Hogan.
But here's the thing, though, Bang. Because you're right. So salute to the real OGs, right? The real OGs that have watched wrestling. And when I say real OGs, y'all at least 51 or 52 years old. So you got, like, because I saw some of those comments. Some of y'all talking about y'all remember Greg the Hammer Valentine run. Y'all digging up old VHSs from your granddaddy.
Man.
We not doing this either because y'all had me thinking, no, y'all wanted me to believe that Greg the Hammer Valentine was like Harley Race. And that ain't happening. Like, I get it. Oh, the matches with Tito Santana and all these, and y'all naming a bunch of shit that don't be on no A&E, don't be on no doc for Hulu. It ain't even been on Dark Side of the Ring. It ain't been nowhere. So
I'll go by it yet. You just naming shit before 1985.
Yeah. Yeah. You literally are. And that's my thing. It's like, okay, hey, look, I could see y'all point if I was like, yo, Greg the Hammer Valentine is the worst wrestler alive. Like, he can't wrestle at all. Like, if I said that.
That wasn't the question.
Right.
That wasn't the question.
I was like, who do you think can't wrestle? And he wouldn't have been the person that came to my mind, even if that was the question. Like, it wouldn't have came out like that. Yeah, but y'all was talking like, one, you was there. I know that's cap. I looked at some of y'all profiles. Some of y'all younger than me.
Right.
And some of us, we probably had the same teacher within like elementary school. So if you're 44 and you try to educate me on Greg the Hammer Valentine, shut the fuck up respectfully. All right. We're not doing that. We're not doing all of that. We're not doing this. Oh, I've went back and watched the matches because that's an obscure pick. See, there's wrestling nerds, and then there's wrestling lames, right? Wrestling nerds have a great abundance of information.
I'm a wrestling nerd.
Yes. And to be a wrestling nerd, you have to have a vast knowledge of just every era, not just yours, not the one you grew up in. And you respect everything that comes before, during, and after, but you have a certain gauge for what you think is great wrestling, great entertainment, great storytelling, whatever it is. Then there's you wrestling lames. Some of you wrestling lames out there are picking obscure wrestlers to watch matches or to update the wiki real quick so that you can spout off some random shit that nobody gives a fuck about. Like, some of y'all are dying to tell me about that time that you saw Stan Stasiak wrestling in Topeka, Kansas. and I don't want to hear that shit. It doesn't matter. Salute to the Stasiak family, but I'm just saying, dog, a lot of y'all went out of y'all way to tell me things that happened 4 years ago before my statement. And it didn't land. It didn't land like you thought it was going to land.
It didn't land at all. No. Because, no, what pissed me off is that people were saying the same match. Yeah. Oh, you got to go look at the Starrcade match in 83. Yeah. Greg the Hammer Valentine versus Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
That was an amazing match. Fam, we saw that match.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that era. We not and look, I know I don't look 50. None of us do.
That's right.
And again, we didn't say who we thought was a terrible wrestler. At the end of the day, wrestling is entertainment.
Yeah.
We said who we was looking at and was like, yo, how is he winning matches?
Yeah,
and in 1986, 87. To 1991, we were even in his, when he went back to WCW, you like, yo, how the hell is Greg the Hammer Valentine winning matches? But I'll go back to the question that I asked a couple of people that they could not answer. And this is when I tell people, shut the fuck up. If you don't have an answer to a question, just shut up. I asked a couple of people, name me a great match or a match that you was just like, yo, Greg the Hammer Valentine is that dude after 1986-87. Nobody can answer it.
There's none.
Nobody, not one. And I'll ask it on this show today. Name me a match. I'll even be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll go WrestleMania 4. Because I said on this podcast on numerous occasions, that WrestleMania 4 is when I really start loving wrestling.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, shouts out to Busted Open. You know, they've been saying, like, what's the match that made you fall in love with professional wrestling? I want to ask you that question and a couple of other questions before, you know, well, after we move on from this. But Greg Dama Valentine was in the tournament.
Yeah.
Didn't give a shit about Greg the Hammer Valentine in that tournament.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask everybody this question. I'm going to put this question on social. Tell us the match after WrestleMania 4 that you thought was dope from Greg the Hammer Valentine. Now, know some of y'all going to be like, well, you just want people to flip around. No. Because I love grudge matches. I love when people just beating the shit out of each other. I love when people tell a story. I actually hate seeing people flip around in their matches. We hate that style.
Yeah, we're literally the show, the first show that I saw that called out spot-heavy matches and how Meltzer got y'all brains screwed up. But so, this is also the other one of those times. This is the other reason why he got your mind messed up.
So tell me, after 1987, the match that we should watch for Greg the Hammer Valentine that makes us go, this is why we should have been like, nah, he should have been an Intercontinental Champion. Yeah. I'll beat some of y'all to the punch. You know a match that I like from Greg the Hammer Valentine? Actually? When he turned face and he wrestled Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental Championship on Wrestling Challenge. I think it was 1991. But he wrestled Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental Championship. They were saying, yo, this might be his last stand. That was after 1987, y'all. So y'all name me a match for Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Dang.
After 1987.
And what I do want to alert to you, as well as the rest of the people that are watching, is that y'all notice how Bang just dropped out there that there was a face turn there? And yet, you know, one of the things that I saw in those comments was Greg the Hammer Valentine was a master at drawing heat. I want to call a little BS on that. Because there's drawing heat.
Oh, wait a minute. Before you even go.
Okay.
Let me tell you how y'all ain't gonna come at us when it comes to this shit. I told y'all this was 1991. You want to know why this shit was even special, Cam?
Was there?
It was actually May 14th, 1991, a week before my 9th birthday. Because I remember that. Because if I remember it correctly, he won a battle royal to become the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. Fuck y'all niggas, B.
Hey, and that match was the day before my birthday. Hey.
Bingo.
May days. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, there's being a master at drawing heat and then just white people being themselves. Right? Like, again, hey, man, listen, I really wasn't here to kick old Greg's back in. I really wasn't. That really wasn't the thing. But
it's not your goal.
You know what I'm saying? That wasn't my go-to. That was like, y'all, if you watch the show, you know, my go-to guy to kick in their back for no reason, Johnny Wrestling. That's just who it is, all right? That's my pick. Don't distract me from what I'm here to do, right? But, you know, this is the Meltzer babies, though. I blame the Meltzer babies because only the Meltzer babies would say something so obscure, so out of the ordinary, and try to make me believe something different than what is there. Like, literally, when you talk about top heels of any era, when you talk about greatest workers of every era, no matter what federation, organization, or territory that gets named, One name that is just not in the top five is Greg the Hammer Valentine. But that don't mean he bad. Again, I've said things on this show like, yo, respectfully, Booker T and Kevin Nash need to be easy on LA Knight because they're in nobody's top five. Like, I've said that. I've said that. And it don't mean that they bad. They not trash. Somebody got to be number six.
Yeah.
Somebody got to be number 11. And somebody got to be number 36, all right?
Yeah, somebody got to be number 50, all right? Look, I disagree with you for a bit. And only because Greg the Hammer Valentine in our prime was past it.
Right.
When we start watching wrestling, he was past what he used to be. Mm-hmm. So that 82, 83 era when he was wrestling Roddy Piper, or when he's wrestling Bob Backlund for the WWF Championship, he's top five heel then because he's giving them runs. He breaks Tito Santana's leg. He breaks Wahoo McDaniel's leg like in the late 70s, early 80s. That's his time. Ladies and gentlemen, we were either not thought of or we was getting peppers changed. That's the difference.
Yeah, it is. But
go ahead, like Buddy, about to say.
People like Buddy Rogers was alive. Superstar Billy Graham was alive. Like, and I'm not saying.
No, that. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think, no, what I'm going to say, I'm actually going to give him some bail here.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah, you know what? No, we need to do that.
That's 79, because I mean, the nerd in me actually was going back before this episode. The nerd in me was actually like, oh, he was going up against, oh, okay, he was out here. Greg the Hammer Valentine in like 79 to 83 was probably a very underrated heel.
Okay.
I would say that because you look at some of the people that are wrestling and everything, like you don't get an Intercontinental Championship run or United States Championship run in those days without being top five. Like they don't just throw the title on back in that day. They're not just throwing the title on folks like, and I hate to kind of like do this again. But Don Morocco on our day, we like, who the fuck is dude?
Yeah. Because by the time I saw him, he was with Superstar Billy Graham as like his manager, I think.
Right. But Don Morocco, back in the early 80s,
he was the guy.
Was a guy, right? Another one, Tito Santana might be the most shitted on Mexican wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
But he's also a two-time Intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
I've said on this show a couple of times where it was like, yo, when you found out Tito Santana was a multiple time champion before he was a tag champ, like Tito Santana was talking about championships, y'all. Not talking about style or anything like that. But you know that wrestler when they done won multiple championships, and you like, when the fuck did that happen? That was Tito Santana. Yeah. Tito Santana was a two-time Intercontinental Champion, and then he was a tag team champion. We was like, how? When did this happen?
Yeah.
To who? When? Like, the Tito Santana we know was always losing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, hey, I used to be mad at that, though. Hey, Tito was lit to me, because again, I think when we did the top tag teams, I put Strike Force in my top 50.
Yes, you did.
So I wanted to be clear. Hey, I thought Tito Santana was lit. I just watched Survivor Series with 90 when he was bodying everybody. Like that flying forearm went crazy all Survivor Series. So I thought Tito was lit. I was actually hurt that he wouldn't win anymore after I heard that he had won titles. I was like, oh, he could have beat Mr. Perfect one more time, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, what's happening?
But look at what I'm saying is look at Tito Santana's resume. I want y'all to look at his resume and tell me when you were 8 years old, you knew he had this resume.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, this Tito Santana is a two-time intercontinental champion, a two-time tag team champion, and he's a former King of the Ring. He won the King of the Ring before the shit was televised.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is Vince McMahon had a great way of not letting you know the history of some people because it conflicts with what he's trying to do with his organization.
That's true.
But when you like, yo, Tito Santana was a four-time champion before I was eight. Like, that's the point. That's the point that I'm making. So with Greg the Hammer Valentine, Greg the Hammer Valentine in our time was ass. I don't care what none of y'all say. Yeah. I didn't care for Greg the Hammer Valentine when he was with Classy Freddie Blassie.
No.
I ain't care about Greg the Hammer Valentine when he was with the Dream Team. I ain't care about Greg the Hammer Valentine when he turned on Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I ain't care about Greg the Hammer Valentine when he was in the world title tournament knowing damn well he wasn't going to win it. I didn't care about Greg the Hammer Valentine when he was in Rhythm and Blues and he dyed his hair black.
Yeah, the worst.
I ain't give a damn about Greg the Hammer Valentine from 1987 to 1991. But as an adult, I can go back and I can say, hey, he beat the shit out of Rowdy Roddy Piper. He broke Marg's legs. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. This is dope. He was actually maiming niggas. This is great. But I had to go look back for that.
Yeah.
Didn't happen in my day. I was just a sperm in my daddy's nutsack when this man did half of the shit that y'all was talking about.
Like he was there for.
All right. So, again, what I want you old generic, well, old, excuse me, what I want you old geriatric wrestling fans who pops up on our timeline to do is stop trying to tell us about the history of wrestling. Why? Because I saw it more than you. Because you probably wasn't even at the Rosemont Horizon or at the International Amphitheater in Chicago watching these matches. You was doing the same thing my ass was doing, watching it from the luxury of your own home. You just watched it before me, but I've watched it more than you because half of y'all that's going to come up on this page is not going to be trying to tell me about the history of something when, again, I just told y'all to ask me and answer this question. And I'm going to ask it again, y'all. I'm going to ask it again. For all of you new people that came on here that don't listen to our podcast, which is a great podcast, who don't listen to don't watch any of our video content. If you don't do that, that's great. I'm not asking you to. What I'm asking y'all to do is this. Name me a wrestling match from 86 on of Greg the Hammer Valentine that you like. I didn't say if it was a five-star match. I didn't say if it was an all-time encounter. I said, name me a match during the time that I watch wrestling, which is 86 on, of Greg the Hammer Valentine that you could say, hey, JR, Kemp, you should watch this match. You can't. Why? Because they all sucked.
Yeah.
And for us, who watched wrestling at that time, starts watching at that time, we gonna say, man, that shit sucked. But for y'all who watched him in his heyday, you of course will have a different answer, thought, and we ain't discounting that because I love the dog collar match. What I don't like is Rhythm and Blues.
Yeah.
Versus Dusty Rhodes and whoever. That's what I grew up watching.
When he was Slur Elvis. Because I don't think I can say, like,
it,
well done.
Right. And matter of fact, shouts out Chess out the hood because he's watching. And this is exactly and this is exactly what I was saying. Like I was saying,
hey,
Valentine.
B-Dot, what up?
Valentine is he's the workhorse champion. People want to see him get beat. All those intercontinental champs was pretty solid. They was workers. Santana, Morocco, Valentine, Hogan was just entertainment. Agree. Mm-hmm. 100% agree.
Absolutely.
But what we're saying is,
yes.
When we are 10,
yeah,
he ain't it.
Yeah.
He was the intercontinental champion before we're born.
Yeah.
But when we're 10, it's lit. When we're 20, when we're 10, it's not lit.
No.
When we're 20 and we have access, we go, oh.
That was decent.
That was decent. Buddy was doing this thing back in the day.
Here's the deal. And shout out to Hood. I love speaking with Hood. We got to get them back on the show for 2024 for sure. Here's the thing, though, y'all. Wrestlers are supposed to be good at wrestling, right? So just because you can really wrestle, that don't mean that you need to be like heralded. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like the game of basketball. How many of y'all would cape for Vincent Askew? Like, who would do that? Like, how many people are like, yo, after UNLV, Stacey Augman, though, like, it's like, yo, you can respect that he was really great, but if he wasn't your favorite player, you're like, oh, wow, you know. Like, Johnny Newman. I love Johnny Newman because I was a Charlotte Hornets fan, but I know he's not, like, better than, like, Kawhi Leonard when healthy. Like, that's, and it's yeah, okay, but he's, like, because he's good, man, but I think many of you misconstrued, like, my response. I still think it's Plumber Hulk Hogan. I still think he is the most default wrestler of my time as a child. But that doesn't mean he can't wrestle. That doesn't mean he didn't serve his purpose as being an effective heel. Like, but he was literally, when I started watching Greg the Hammer Valentine matches, I didn't care if he won or lost because I never expected him to win. And that's the point I'm making. Like, that's the point I'm making. I never thought, oh, man, he might win this one. No, I never thought that.
That's the other part about this, too. This is why it made, like, old wrestling fans made me upset. Yeah. And matter of fact, they made me upset, but it was expected. It was these niggas that's our age that I was like, yo, y'all tripping. Because can't none of y'all say, hey, man, in 1988, we was like, yo, when he going to get this Intercontinental Championship run? Ain't none of y'all, like, yo, after I go up against rugged Ronnie Garvin, you know what I'm saying, Greg Hammer Valentine, got to get an Intercontinental Championship spot. Matter of fact, it was a surprise. When he won the battle royal to go up against Mr. Perfect in 1991, it was like, yo, that's why they was like, hey, last chance. Is this it for Greg the Hammer Valentine?
Yeah.
He is a former Intercontinental Champion. Maybe. No, none of y'all said that. That's why I want to hear none of y'all. Because can't none of y'all name me a match from 1986 on that's like, yo, this is the Greg the Hammer Valentine match to watch.
And you missed this?
Right. And here's what I know what you was trying to say, but here's where I'll fix it for you. Wrestling at the end of the day is still entertainment.
Yeah.
Right? Like those spot heavy shits we might not like, but that's entertainment.
Yeah.
Greg the Hammer Valentine is a great mat tactician. You know who else is a great mat tactician? Bret Hart. Guess who we like? And guess who, honestly, when you look at it, he ain't really got an ounce of charisma, fam. It's Bret Hart. You know why we like Bret Hart? We don't like Bret Hart for no promo. We can't name a promo outside of the mid-90s when he starts saying, fuck America. We can't name a promo from Bret Hart where we was like, yo, Bret Hart talking that shit. No, you know what we name? Matches. So when y'all try to put that whole, oh man, you want to see jumping and you want to see entertainment. No, some of our favorite wrestlers ain't got no charisma. Yeah. They just good ass wrestlers. And yeah. Some of them are wrestlers who can sell their ass off. You yeah. know what Greg the Hammer Valentine can do? Face plant for our day. But in your day, he was breaking people's legs. Yeah. How come y'all niggas just didn't say this? Hey, man, I feel you, man. But you missed when Greg the Hammer Valentine was out here breaking folks' legs with that figure four.
Yeah,
no, y'all didn't.
Right. See, I saw when they tried to remix it. I seen when they tried to remix it with the bride thing, the bride calf foreign object sleeve that
with the catcher protector joint.
Yeah, like I seen that and I was like, oh, he was trying to, but they're breaking the count, so he didn't really hurt anybody.
Right. But you know what? We've spent way too long on Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah, for sure.
And none of y'all gonna go and watch no classic Greg the Hammer Valentine matches after 1983 Starrcade. I even go that far. And none of y'all about to watch no classic Greg the Hammer Valentine matches after Starrcade. But real quick, the reason why I added the promo of Greg the Hammer Valentine talking shit to Junkyard Dog, because simple, that man right there is black. It was very easy. He's black. So it was very easy to know that promo, which was one of the most racist promos of all time.
Absolutely.
But in context, hilarious promo.
Yeah.
I don't know if Greg the Hammer Valentine is racist or not, but I also know that during that time, wrestling was very stereotypical. Like, Mr. Fuji called Classy Freddie Blassie a cracker. Go listen to Bobby the Brain Heenan, y'all. Bobby the Brain Heenan was very racist to Tito Santana. That man called him Chico. The finishing move was flying burrito. That was racist, y'all.
Him and Jesse the Body, who called it the flying jalapeno.
Jesse the Body Ventura. Yeah, Jesse the Body Ventura on an episode of Saturday Night's Main Event. Get a buckwheat shirt on, y'all. In context.
Yeah.
But the mean old nasty black man in this promo was Camp from the Port. So it was very easy for me to clip those pieces knowing that he was mad at a nasty black man.
Yeah.
Just so happens to be Camp from the Port.
Yeah. You know, I mean, hey, and real quick though, real quick, just maybe like 20, no, wait, 93 more seconds. Shout out to dude that was like, y'all did this to make him sound racist. I was like,
right.
He cut the promo. We just using it. We didn't make him say that. It wasn't AI. Hey, and shout out to whoever tagged me in that video on Twitter, because we're not calling it X. It's Twitter. Like, I'm one of those people too. I would say for Twitter.
Oh, that's M. That's M. That's M. So yeah. Random Acts of Podcast. Shouts out to them.
Yeah, so shout out to y'all, because I was like, yo, it was another promo. Like right here, I was like, no, that's who he was. See, y'all,
that's
y'all
real thinking, life.
Yeah, it's like, hey, maybe his authentic character just didn't do it for me.
All right, so we're going to move on from Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah, please. Let's leave this in 2023.
And I'm going to ask a similar question.
Yeah.
All right? We shitted on Greg the Hammer Valentine and Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
Who's a wrestler when you were growing up where you was like, why is this wrestler not winning matches? Why is he not a champion? What are we doing here? WWE or WCW?
Man, you know, so this list, I don't know, it's going to be a little wonky, because some of these guys won matches, they just didn't win matches that mattered all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Greg Hammer Valentine won matches.
Yeah. So
he lost a lot. Digging,
when you said that, two people came to my mind. We're gonna go WWF at the time, and then we'll go WCW. My WWF pick was the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich. But again, I'm a kid, and he does end up Intercontinental Champion, but, like, you want to talk about wrestling deaths that really, like, hurt me in real time as a kid? It was that one, because I was like, yo, I think he could be the world champ. I didn't know who he was before he got to the WWF. So, I was like, yo, he should face the Warrior next, since Hogan can't beat him. Like, that's the kind of thing I was telling myself at, like, 10, 11 years old. So it was him. And wildly enough, man, y'all can feel free to roast me, whatever y'all want to do. But this is the guy I thought about when you said this question that you said. WCW, Van Hammer.
Wow.
Van Hammer was my effing guy. Like, that was my guy. I was like, yo, why he ain't facing Luger for the U.S. title? Like, why he ain't facing Luger for the world title? I truly F with Van Hammer super heavy. I thought him and even Max Payne was decent. But Van Hammer was the dude. And I never understood why he wouldn't climb in the ladder of success past that 7-8 slot on the WCW top 10.
I was just about to say that. Hey, man, and this is one that I know you're going to agree with, a wrestler or a tag team that I just did not understand why they not in the upper echelon, Power and Glory.
Hey, yeah, absolutely.
Look, let y'all know something, fam. I was a Hercules fan. I was not a Paul Roma fan. But when those two got together, I just knew they was going to be the next World Tag Team Champions. Mm-hmm. They still have one of the greatest finishing maneuvers in tag team history to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could not tell me that Hercules and Paul Roma together, you could not tell me that they was not going to be it.
Hey, so to piggyback off of what you said, because I was a Hercules fan as well, but, hey, again, going back to the tag teams, I had the Young Stallions in my top 50, even though I think it was Shawn Knight and Jay Hood. I was like, yo, why you got the Young Stallions in your top 50? I think they're the greatest jobber tag team ever, all right? That's what I'm on. So I love Paul Roma and Jim Powers, but when Paul Roma and Hercules got together, I was like, oh, wow, I actually like this. And I really wasn't the biggest fan of Slick. But putting them together, and then I saw their first debut match and they did the finisher, I was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm like, I love this.
Yeah, if we're doing WCW and WWF, I know the question is, who did you think should win more?
More.
Because we're not going to pick like a jobber. We're not going to pick like, yo, I think Iron Mike Sharp should have been the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm picking Power and Glory because I think that they were, I thought that they were going to be it.
Yeah.
WCW, on the other hand, this sounds like cheating, but I thought Arn Anderson was supposed to be a world champ. You could not tell me Arn Anderson was not better than Ric Flair.
Wow.
That's how much of an Arn Anderson stan I was and still is today.
Yeah.
Double A, the Enforcer, when he hits you with the Spine Buster, fam, I was spine bustering people all through the hood because of Arn Anderson. DDTN, I know Jake the Snake invented it, perfected it. But the quickness of Arn Anderson's DDT, man, you could not tell me that when Ric Flair lost the belt, Arn Anderson was about to get it.
Mm.
And I used to get mad when Ric Flair would go back and go after the title. I'm like, man, what are we doing with Arn? Why Arn got to be the TV champ all the time? Like, that's how much of a stan I was of Arn Anderson. He didn't have a United States Championship run.
Yeah.
He had the tag team title run, and in singles matches, he's the greatest TV champion of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Why could he not get the world championship? Ric Flair hold him back. That's how much of a stan I am of Arn Anderson, fan.
Arn Anderson was cold,
who was really around here breaking Sting leg to me.
Hey, now Arn Anderson was cold, so I understand. it makes sense. Also a fan of Arn Anderson. Hey, so yeah.
Yeah, like Paul, Power and Glory, Arn Anderson. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm going to go because it would feel like cheating.
Yeah, well, I kind of cheated too, because when you understand what Kerry Von Erich's trajectory really was, like, well, it's like, oh, well, damn. What it was supposed to be.
Because when you go watch the Iron Claw, it's going to fuck you up. And I ain't even watched it yet. But I'm just saying, like, when you really, because like you said, and I think that was great for you to say, because wrestling fans just assume, oh, you should know this nigga.
Yeah.
If you were not out here buying Pro Wrestling Illustrated and all of these joints, you probably don't know who these people are, because depending on your cable provider or what channels you might have, you didn't see these folks on TV like you saw with the WWF.
Yeah.
When the Texas Tornado debuted in the WWF, I was like, oh shit, Kerry Von Erich coming over? My first thought, like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This is big. But I also didn't know what was going on in his personal life.
Right. Yeah.
Like, so when I got older and found out, like, Buddy had one foot.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. Hold on, y'all. When did this happen? When did he have a motorcycle accident? I didn't even know that. Like, it's certain shit. Matter of fact, I'll ask a question for you. What's the wrestling story that shocked the hell out of you that you found out about, you know, like a wrestler, like using Kerry Von Erich? Like, as you got older and you, like, you dark side of the ring did or whatever, what was a wrestling story that you didn't know growing up that shocked you as an adult?
Oh, man. I mean, shit. There's four seasons worth of it. But I mean, no, you know what, though? Well, I said Adrian Adonis because I didn't realize, like, I was always told a different story from what actually happened. The Gino Hernandez cat, that was heartbreaking because I'd never even heard a dude, like, until Dark Side of the Ring. So I'll keep it real in this show and on the internet if nobody else was. I had no idea who Gino Hernandez was until I saw Dark Side of the Ring, and that was effed up to me. But I mean, hey, you know, again, unfortunately, I learned about the rest of the Von Erich family when Kerry Von Erich died. Because when I realized it was self-transition, and then I realized who his brothers were and realized who his dad was, and I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. So then you get all of that information and you're just living with it, sitting with it. And then Dark Side of the Ring comes out and it looks even worse. And I'm like, oh my God. So then you Google some more. And so that's still, for me, top of the most heartbreaking stories, because one of them did happen to be one of my favorite wrestlers ever when I was like 11 years old. So, there are other ones. I mean, shoot, even the Miss Elizabeth thing is like just tragic in its own like way, because it's like, oh wow, I didn't realize it was like that. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there's some that stand out. Brian Pillman for me also, if you've been watching the show, I think that's the guy that really starts the Attitude Era for me. Like, I still think he is the godfather of the Attitude Era. But yeah, I'll stay there to not ramble, but those are like at the top, because that was came to the front of my mind as soon as you said that.
Magnum TA is the one for me. Like, I just used to remember seeing dude on old like NWA WCW stuff and was like, yo, why they keep talking about this dude like this dude was it?
Yeah.
And then when I start doing my history, it's like, wait a minute. Dude was supposed to replace Ric Flair? Like, dude was supposed to be the it guy.
Yeah.
He got into a motorcycle accident, almost died. Like, I didn't know about the Nikita Koloff Magnum TA thing. I didn't know about none of that stuff, you know, of course, like as a kid. Yeah. But then, and this is before Dark Side of the Ring, but when you start to grow up and you start to like do your history and everything, starting to hit Google a lot and read and hear like testimonies and stuff, it was like, yo, wow.
Yeah.
Like things, it's wild to say how much things could have been much different if Magnum TA never gets into the car accident.
Yeah.
Like it's wild to where he was being positioned and everything that happened with it. Another story.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to say this real quick. Because all things considered, maybe Ric Flair doesn't get the 16 times as the world champ.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's the one big takeaway I took from his story. It was like, oh, so like really what Flair ended up doing for Sting, he was going to do for Magnum TA first, but who says that Magnum TA doesn't have to do that for Sting and it's not Ric Flair?
Yeah. And that's actually the next one that I was going to. Mm. The day I found out that Sting and the Ultimate Warrior were tag team partners blew my fucking mind. Because I was a fan of both.
Mm.
And then I just so happened to get a magazine, a Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine, and they talked about the Blade Runners. And I was like, how they're on top of the wrestling world. And I was like, who in the hell is that Sting and Ultimate Warrior? Mm. What is, wait a minute, what? Wow. Like that threw me for a loop. Yeah. That at the time, two of my favorite wrestlers of all time were actually tag team partners. Mm. One more that, and not we move on from here, is Bruiser Brody. As I started looking at wrestling and just trying to find whoever I could find, and hearing about like Bruiser Brody and how he was just a monster and like one of the greatest big men in the ring, and you know he passed away the way he passed. Yeah. And then when you find out the Dark Side of the Ring, like when you find that out, it was even like, whoa,
yeah,
wrestling's nasty, like
nah, for sure. So, yeah, nah, you know what, that mind-blowing stories. Nah, you know what? I was thinking the more like Hurt, but Bruiser Brody, and then finding out that Jimmy Superfly Snuka just might be a serial killer. That's a little crazy. Respect, apologies. I'm sorry. Hey, to me, I don't mean it like that. But I'm just reading the information. I'm watching the docs. I'm just saying. I don't want to put that on his jacket, but that looked like it was on his jacket. Like it looked like it.
Yeah. So you find that out. Like Jimmy Snuka is one of those. Like Jimmy Snuka was like face number three on Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon.
Yeah.
Like him, Junkyard Dog, and Hogan.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, you mean tell me this dude, what? All right, man. Hey, Frank, real quick, as we transition, shouts out to our homie Brando. Brando was a part of a panel of voters that voted on Pro Wrestling 2023 awards. Best male and female wrestler, feud, faction, promo, and more. You can check this out on ESPN.com. Actually, if you are in our First Black Champ group, our man Brando dropped that up in the group. So I am going to drop some of these awards.
Okay.
Give you the winner. And if you agree or not, and if you don't agree, who would you put in that place? So, best storyline of the year. I think this is easy. The Bloodline 2.0 was ranked as the best storyline of the year. The runner-up was MJF and Adam Cole, Bay, who last night, Adam Cole showed himself to be the devil. And MJF is no longer the AEW champion. Shouts out to Samoa Joe. But the best storyline of the year, Bloodline, do you agree or disagree?
To keep it real, nah. I don't agree.
Oh, why?
And I mean, well, see, I'm careful. I'm trying to be careful because I'm taking in the whole year. Pause. And I just don't know if the 2023 Bloodline story is it. Because after WrestleMania, it ain't been fire to me. So I don't know if I'm going with that one as number one. I do like the MJF Adam Cole joint. I do really like that. If I had to pick a story that I just felt was a tad more compelling this year, especially if we're talking about the WWE, I'll go with the story of Gunther becoming the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. I mean, it's not a lot of like story to tell, but I think the evolution of his character was just told a lot greater post-WrestleMania. That, I mean, again, I'm not mad at anybody picking the Bloodline, but I've been so unimpressed with the story after WrestleMania. And I feel like a lot of things were force-fed for the story. Even what I expected to happen with Sami Zayn isn't hitting for me. So, I don't know. I'll go MJF Adam Cole over that, if that's cool. But I don't know about the Bloodline being the number one story of this year. I don't know.
Okay. I go with the Bloodline being the best storyline simply because of the beginning of the year. And stuff. I wasn't really a fan of MJF and Adam Cole, the whole no not to be best friend. It's like they continue to do that storyline with him. Like everybody want to be his best friend and then turn on him. So
yeah.
I go with the Bloodline here. Best pay-per-view event of the year. The team picked WrestleMania 39. With Forbidden Door 2023 being the runner-up in this one. I'll say I agree in this. I agree, because Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley really was like, when you go back and watch it, that was best match of the night, probably.
Yeah.
The storyline of the Bloodline was in full force right there. Seeing Cody Rhodes damn near about to cry right there was lit, too. The other part about it too is just like even the Usos versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on night one, that was probably pay-per-view of the year for me. What about you?
I'm not mad at WrestleMania. I want to lean on Money in the Bank because I think I caught most of that.
Yeah.
So by default, Money in the Bank is like my favorite because I think that is the card I called most accurately the entire year.
Yeah.
Narcissism, get addicted.
There you go. The match of the year, Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, Wrestle Kingdom and Forbidden Door. Now, I remember coming on here and telling y'all about the Wrestle Kingdom match.
Mm-hmm.
That damn match was cold as hell. Mm-hmm. Now, was the Forbidden Door match nice? Yes. I don't think it was good as Wrestle Kingdom. Okay. That match had me hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And was one of the best matches that I think that I've seen in my life. I came on here singing that match praise. The runner up for that one, which I am not mad at, is Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. But I'm gonna throw a couple of Gunther joints up in there too. Like the Gunther match versus my man at Alpha Academy.
Chad Gable.
Yeah, that one, that match right there smacked.
Yeah.
Like, that's another one that I'll throw out there that I'll show some love to. But, yeah, they got me with that one. I ain't mad at this one. I ain't mad at you know, the Wrestle Kingdom match because, hey, man, they tore it down.
Yeah. I did not say Wrestle Kingdom, so I'm not going to definitively pick anybody. But, again, for entertainment value, I mean, Rhea Charlotte, I got that up there. Yeah, I think the Gunther Chad Gable actually series I was like the definitely the series, but I mean the second Raw match, I think is the one, the second or the third one. Not for nothing, and I'm not even trying to be funny. I think Logan Paul got one in there that could be thrown in the conversation. I think Bad Bunny, Damian Priest. Outside of the see, the thing is, the ending of the match is trash.
Yeah,
the match itself is fire.
Dragunov and Melo is another
Dragunov and Melo. Because I did see that. I watched that twice actually. So yeah, I mean, so it's some joy. I mean, again, I try to get away from match of the year because I don't watch Wrestle Kingdom. I just miss it. I just be doing something else, and if I do see something, I see like two or three matches or two and a half matches. So match of the year, but I'll just throw out some other ones that I thought were dope. And those are the ones I thought that were dope.
All right, man, promo of the year. And I think this is an easy one. MJF wins promo artist of the year. LA Knight as the runner-up here. Yeah, I don't think it's really a better promo right now than MJF. Like, even on his worst day, he, like, is really, like, nice with it on the mic. You know, I think he's very decent as a wrestler, and once the matches match the promo, he definitely will be like higher on my wrestler list. Yeah. But just with the microphone alone, yeah, man, I don't think nobody was touching MJF this year.
No, for the last 3 years, it's been MJF and Miz. And I think that also depends on how we're going to gauge Dominic Mysterio promos technically. Because, I mean, the interaction alone makes for a great promo. It doesn't get old. The decibel increases of booze while he's trying to say anything. That in itself is a great promo. So, but no, I mean, for me, last 3 years for sure, MJF and Miz, it's been 1 and 1A. You can pick whoever because they all got one moment. Salute to LA Knight. His promos are dope. I'm not going to talk like that, but runner up, I get it, but nah.
All right. So this is where I disagree with ESPN. And since he wrote this part in the article, Brando. ESPN ranks LA Knight as the breakthrough wrestler of the year, and I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree, and I put the person who is their runner-up as the person that is my breakthrough wrestler of the year.
Okay.
And that's Swerve Strickland.
Okay.
Because
he's been on the tear.
It's the matches, the match quality. And both me and you have said on this pod, yo, the matches got to start looking good.
Yeah.
They got to start mattering because they're not right now. They're not matching the crowd output of what's going on. Swerve, you can't say that. Swerve barely missed his feud with Adam Page, that damn death match. Man, for somebody who don't really care for death matches like that. It was hard to watch, but I watched it. You know, and I am actually, I'm so disappointed that he didn't win the Continental Classics. I believe that that should have been a avenue for him. And Keith Lee is hurt. The wrestler, Keith Lee, is hurt. So he had to wrestle Dustin Rhodes last night at World's End. But nah, man, I think if it was anybody that really broke through and put himself, it was Swerve for me, man.
Yeah. No, you know what? The conversation about Swerve is very different now than it was at the top of the year, because I believe that was what the last free agent signings or whatever, or maybe I got the quarter wrong. But, you know, at one point in this year, for sure, definitely January to March, people were talking like Swerve made the biggest mistake of his career, especially when, you know, Hit Row ended up coming back to SmackDown, and it looked like they were going to be on a fast track, back on the fast track of being just staples on SmackDown. But here we are, December 31st. I see the Top Dollar is in greater health, and he's re-signed, it appears. But, you know, B-Fab trying to get down with Bobby and the Prophets. I don't know where Asante is, if he ain't coming in at the end of her promos. And Swerve got white people bopping by the thousands. So, you know, it's hard not to give it to him. LA Knight, totally understand it. Obviously, hey, look, I'm just being critical. I'm trying this. I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. Again, I don't know how all of y'all got on my bandwagon. I don't know how you got here. I don't know.
You're the first one there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have no idea. So, granted, I was very high on them, but now we're at the point where we're just giving them everything, and I ain't with that either. because it's cool. It's cool to like dude, respect dude, appreciate what he's doing and what he's brought, and going back and seeing what he's done. But y'all putting a little too much gas on it, and that's going to make for problems in 2025. And I know we're in the way to 2024. That's why I'm telling you, 2025.
Too much dip on the chip, man. I feel you on that one. Debut of the year, I think this was easy. CM Punk. When CM Punk debuted at the crib, you know what I'm saying? That right there.
No, you know what? My bad. I'm sorry. Hold up. Whoa. The best story of the year was CM Punk. He is the best story.
Line.
The best story. Like, yeah. Hey, I go in there and I beat up executives at One Federation. I tell the owner he a child. He don't know how to take care of his daycare center. I punch some more kids. I punch Luke Perry's son in the face. Fired. I get him out of here. I get fired, and I come back to a crib. And I come back to the other organization that made me hot. I piss off one of the top guys. I don't give a fuck. I step on Randy Orton's debut. Or I'm sorry, not debut, but return. I step on Randy Orton's return. I cut three promos because I do more promos and more backstage antics. But I keep getting better with the money, with the time, and with the access. Yeah, CM Punk is the best storyline of 2023. That's my pick. I'm there. Scratch what I said about Gunther and the Bloodline.
Hey, shouts to shouts out to DNAs and NDAs or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Tag team of the year. Yeah, FTR. I ain't mad at that. Name another tag team outside of them that's really been holding down tag teams consistently. So we good on that one. All right, here's my second disagreement. Male wrestler of the year, they gave it to Cody Rhodes, and I call bullshit. No, not at all. I'm giving this to Roman Reigns, because there's nobody that did less and gave us more, all right? Like, when you can pull in people and you ain't even there, that tells me that you are the superstar of the year, all right? This is not just talking about that he's the biggest or whatever. but we all come to watch the Tribal Chief, right? And
that's true.
And the Tribal Chief beats Cody, and we've been questioning the story ever since. All right, so Will Ospreay, he definitely probably had the best matches, and MJF had the best promos, but I'm giving that to Roman Reigns. I'm not, and quite honestly, if Seth Rollins should be male wrestler of the year before Cody Rhodes, so
yeah, for sure. I mean, hey, look, I've been teasing this wrestler of the year, right? The wrestler of just 2023. I've been teasing this all year. I'm going to stand on my pick and give my runner-up. My pick is Damian Priest. My pick is Damian Priest because, again, Judgment Day is what it is. And although he may not be the leader, and he may not be the best wrestler in this faction, who's had a greater year than Damian Priest? And I mean greater year as in I may not be the world champion. I may not main event any pay-per-view, but somehow at least half the roads lead to me. Damian Priest did that all year. He might not have been in the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship match, but he was in one of the biggest matches in his organization, in his country. His faction is on top of their show. A large part of that is because he'd be sending people south of heaven. Even with polarizing figures like Rhea Ripley around him, decorated people like Finn Balor around him, most hated man in wrestling like Dominic Mysterio around him, he still maintains a spot as a big focal point into not only that faction, but to his actual ring work. And you know his day is coming. We just waiting for the receipt. Damian Priest won. Runner-up Seth Rollins, because it's Seth freaking Rollins. You know the resume. You've seen all of it. I don't even know if the backstory is real at this point. I don't know. Because he's not looking like there's anything wrong with his damn back. But Damian Priest for 2023, Seth Rollins.
Okay. And I think the women's wrestler of the year is easy to pick, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nobody even close
from my vantage point. On that. Yeah, Not for this year. There's no runner up this year. It's real, and it's everybody else.
Yeah. All right, man. So tomorrow, we record this on Sunday. So tomorrow is day one day.
Yeah.
That is New Year's Day and day one, Monday Night Raw. Triple H is already teasing a former world champion will be appearing on there. Had a lot of stuff going on. Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. Don't want to pick no matches or anything like that. Okay. Because we also got SmackDown with their New Year's resolution is going on. I really want to pick, though, like just looking at like those awards that ESPN gave, just kind of like looking at the year. Mm-hmm. Who, like, let's talk about, you know, who do you feel like is going to have a big year in 2024? When you look at everybody, when you look at the potential people coming from NXT, potential people moving from Raw to SmackDown, AEW to WWE, Impact even coming in, they're back to being TNA starting in a couple of hours and stuff like that. And even, hell, shouts out to your man Thrill Billy, who's in the Iron Claw, you know? He's in the Iron Claw. So, even like with some of the reported stuff that's happening with WWE and All Japan Pro Wrestling, could some wrestlers in New Japan make a jump and stuff like that? It's a lot of stuff that seems to be going on, the controversy surrounding Chris Jericho this morning.
Christopher.
We can't confirm or deny, but, Hopefully, my man named Freaky Jericho. Yeah.
Break the walls down.
Who do you expect to have a big year in 2024?
At face value, it was one name that popped up into my mind because of how he's closing out the year. And that's Nick Aldis. I'm just going to go Nick Aldis. I don't think this GM thing is going to be a thing, like a full-time thing, too much longer with the role that he's on. I just don't believe so. I'm happy for Nick Aldis. I'm very happy that he finally made it to the WWE. I'm happy that he is positioning himself as a character that can get all his dream matches off in this calendar year if he wants to. Definitely in the next two. And I want to see him do it. I think that is the only one that is glaring to me, because there's a lot of men and women who I believe are going to get their chance. But since we kind of expect it, how special is it? Like, I expect certain things for Carmelo Hayes. You know what I'm saying? I expect certain things to happen for even like a returning Nia Jax. I expect certain things for Sami Zayn and Jey Uso. I expect certain things for Adam Cole, MJF, and now Swerve. So to me, if they just do half of what's expected, it's not surprising. I think what will be surprising, especially to the WWE audience, would be Nick Aldis doing anything other than being the GM. Obviously, you brought him up, Thrill Billy, beating EC3 for the NWA championship would make my year. I would call it a day. I'm not going to check out, but I'd call it a day. If Thrill Billy can get an EC3 for the title and beat him, like, or beat him when he already got the title and he won it back, whatever you want to do. But if Thrill Billy ends up the NWA world champion, that would be the thing that I want to see the most, because I think he's the best wrestler in NWA right now.
All right, man. No, we don't talk about AEW a lot.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. But I am in this moment, because in 2024, Swerve becomes the first black champ, world champ, in AEW. I think it's only a matter of time. And Tony Khan, if you mess this up, you deserve to get your ass beat and your company taken from you. Swerve Strickland is a star. Yeah, and he has developed his body, pause, and he has become an even better wrestler, a better technician in the ring, and is telling incredible stories. Mm-hmm. Let Samoa Joe be a nice transition, all right? Let Samoa Joe have his for a little bit. But the person who should take the belt off of Samoa Joe should be Swerve.
Wow. Okay.
And the pop that's going to come behind that, Tony Khan, let's make history. Who's a breakout star, somebody that people are not necessarily talking about in that way? Who you think somebody is going to break? Who you think is going to break out in 2024?
Breakout stars 2024. Man,
I'll say this. Thrill Billy is somebody that I think is on that lane because they haven't broken out, so to speak. But I know you've been on the Trick, Williams bandwagon too.
See, with that, his promos are going to get in his way, I think, a little bit. I wanted to say that, but then see, I also consider him a person that's literally on the cusp. They're on the cusp of anything that can or will happen. Nobody's really coming out of nowhere. I would love to even put my man's Ricky Morton's son. I would love to put him in this conversation. But if his trajectory is being in a tag team, I don't know how that works in this era. Like this, like we really favoring singles wrestlers right now. So the Southern Six, obviously one of my favorite teams, but breaking out means that when you say breakout to me, I'm taking it as somebody's name is going to be in lights by summertime.
Yeah, like who you think going to be like, who or that person who is just like, ain't that like the LA Knight piece? How WrestleMania, yeah. We was like, ah, but then SummerSlam, we was like, oh.
Yeah, see, it's, I don't know. I don't know. I think, because I don't think the game is wide open like it was last year. Like last year, 2022 going into 23, the game was wide open. Why was the game wide open? Because people were already complaining about how long Roman Reigns had the title. It was only one title. And the game was sown. And it was like, well, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins got to beat him. And then we got CM Punk and AEW, but he going to wrestle Daniel Bryan and John Moxley. So it was like, there was that. And then there was MJF. But everything was just kind of laid out. Like, that's just what it is. But, and now, though, 2024, we watched a lot of people dominate without being the main event. Gunther dominated, not the main event. Rhea Ripley dominated, not the main event always. Seth Rollins, the same thing. Then you got Dragunov and Melo, and then you got, just by default, because it always happens this way, it's MJF, it's Adam Cole, it's Jon Moxley, and it's just like, CM Punk is supposed to be there because CM Punk dominated. Also, so you have so many people who have dominated this year or went on runs this year that ain't even got their world title shots yet. So I don't even think it's Rome. I don't think it's Rome in 2024. That's kind of why my answers are the way they are, because it's a lot of people that are just next in line. Like the line is stacked. So the only way I could see a breakout happening is if some dark side of the ring shit happen. And I don't want that. So,
oh, man,
everybody's going to get in the line.
I'm going to give you two men and one woman. Okay. Starting with the woman, Tiffany Stratton. I think Tiffany Stratton is on her way, fam. Like, she got it. I think that she has the potential by the end of the year, we'll be talking about her possibly like being a Royal Rumble front runner. But for the men, and I know you might disagree with this, but based off what you just said, I think Damian Priest is going to be that breakout, because I think that he's going to get the world title, you know, with the Money in the Bank. And we're finally going to see, he's going to break out to where you see him and where everybody sees him. Once he wins that Money in the Bank. But the other person, speaking of the Judgment Day, I didn't think I'd be saying this shit last year, but Dominic Mysterio.
Okay.
I think this is the year, especially if the Judgment Day kind of like breaks up or whatever. We, you know, when people break up, you wonder who's going to be like the breakout star of that. I think Dominic, I believe that Dominic Mysterio has grown in a way that at the end of 2024, we're going to be looking at him very, very differently. Okay. And I still hold that hope that him and Logan Paul ends up being the World Tag Team Champions. Yeah. So I could go ahead and give y'all my I told y'all so moment, because I do believe that those two guys are the two best frog splash in the the two best frog splashes in the WWE belong to Logan Paul and Dominic Mysterio. And if you know wrestling, you know when worlds collide. 1994, a pay-per-view that I continuously talk about on this show to tell people you should watch it. And Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr is they're going to do everything. They are right. They're going to do everything. Logan Paul and Dominic Mysterio could do everything that Eddie and Art was supposed to do, but Art's unfortunate passing stopped a lot of that momentum. So those are my breakouts. Who do you think is somebody? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, listen, I got Dominic Mysterio as a top two or three heel in wrestling, period, right now. So that's, again, I agree with you, but I was trying to find somebody that's like seven. I'm with you. I love those picks. Again, Tiffany Stratton, but I was like, yo, but she had a killer year. But I love those picks. Go ahead.
All right, man, somebody you think is going to take a step back. Unfortunately for me, one person that I think that's going to take a step back, and this is going to be after he loses in Berlin, is Gunther. Unless at this point for me, unless Gunther has a world championship, it's like, what else can you do? Like, what else is next? And I think that's where we are at with Gunther. Gunther's more than likely going to wrestle whoever, like Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins or whoever, for the world, their version of the world championship in Berlin when they have that pay-per-view. But then what's next? You know, does he continue as the Intercontinental Champion? But then it's like, yo, I mean, it's got to be something else next for Gunther. But I don't think that's going to happen, especially once he loses at the Crypt. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Gunther, unfortunately for me, as a fan of my man Goon, is going to take a step back.
So when we say a step back, we're talking about somebody that's shining pretty bright right now, but is probably going to just kind of like fade off into that second or third tier?
Yeah,
my pick is Drew McIntyre, respectfully. Because even this story, he's too big to be doing the storyline, pause, if necessary. He's been too dominant. He's been too much on a roll in just the last 5 years to be doing this storyline today. And we love Drew McIntyre, man. This is a show that definitely supports him since he was the chosen one with no facial hair and some of the coldest music in wrestling ever. But taking a step back, Drew McIntyre is definitely my pick for that. Just because, again, man, that line is long. And he's reaching that we have nothing for you stage. And that's unfortunate.
Okay. And, man, that is about it. I mean, look, I'm still going to challenge y'all marks again. Look, this is like for the Greg Hammer Valentine thing. I challenge y'all.
The hammer.
One more time. Just got to do this one more time, y'all. Challenge y'all. I grew up starting to watch wrestling in 1986.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to feel the same way as some of you feel about your favorite wrestlers, especially if you grew up with them. Mm-hmm. The Rock ain't my number one greatest wrestler of all time. Yeah. I just said on this podcast that I feel like people should have gave Arn Anderson a world championship. Yeah. It just shows y'all, but I'm good. But if I watched wrestling, if I started watching wrestling in 86, 87, and these are people that I grew up watching, tell me the match that I should watch with Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah.
Starting the 86 on. Don't give me no dog collar match. I saw it. I know it already. I didn't watch that when I was a kid. Don't tell me Tito Santana. I didn't watch that as a kid. Wahoo. I didn't watch that as a kid. I didn't grow up with him. Yeah. But since y'all love Greg the Hammer Valentine so much, tell me the Greg match.
Hey, man. The love ain't real. The love ain't real. Hey, listen. Homie that said The Rock got to be my goat. You're just trying to be mean. That was just it. Hey, you just trying to be mean at that point. Like that didn't even make sense in the guise of just like wrestling opinions. It's like, oh, I don't like Greg the Hammer Valentine, so I must love The Rock. Like, why? Like, why? Cite your sources for a statement like that. Like, why would you say that?
But you tell us, and matter of fact, yeah, tell us, what is your favorite Greg the Hammer Valentine match in our era? Not yours.
Yeah.
Ours. I bet you can't come up with one. And I bet you I could come up with one before you can.
Hey, that's all I'm saying. I know he can. That's why I'm not even.
In our era. Don't give me no shit from 1983 when I was one and you was 30, fam. Don't do that. You don't give me no match when I was one, you was 30. Talking about some, oh, you missed this hell of a match. Yeah. You goddamn right. I was getting a bottle.
Yeah. Hey, but look, don't be three either, though, and saying don't that be either. Three,
yeah. Like, so, yeah, tell us homework assignments. Homework assignments to anybody on the fees or whatever. In our era, we start watching wrestling in 1986. Give us a Greg the Hammer Valentine match that we should watch. Also, tell us a wrestler that you feel like, man, they should have been winning a lot more matches. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they're a jobber. I don't care if they're a low-card person, a mid-card person. I don't care if you say Jake the Snake Roberts should have won a world championship. Let us know who that is. Mm-hmm. Educate.
Yeah.
Educate people. Because again, we don't come from your era and you don't come from ours. So tell us, but don't tell us no shit that you grew up with. Because we didn't say that.
Yeah, but to qualify growing up though, you better be at least 5 years old from the time that you're talking about. That's a disclaimer. You at least been in kindergarten, bro. Because that ain't, again, I seen some of y'all faces. I don't know your birthdays, but I seen some of your faces. Some of y'all look 37. And you don't count. You don't count because you just Googling and you said, oh God, you saw what Vern Gagne said about Greg the Hammer Valentine. And then you going off the handle. You know, you heard what the Briscoes had to say about him affectionately. At Comic-Con. Matter of fact, hey, post your damn meet and greet photos and autographs from Greg the Hammer Valentine if it's that real. That's what I
know. I did see three people that commented that as soon as I went on their page, I saw Greg front and center. And the person who shared that video on Twitter was Brutus the Barber Beefcake's wife.
Yeah.
So that being said, man, hey, y'all have a great new year. Hopefully your 2024 is filled with bliss. And hopefully a lot of y'all wrestling fans get some pussy for the first time this ever in your life. Pass it on over to Kemp from the port.
Close out the year with a blast. All right. Yay, man. We appreciate all of y'all checking out the show for the first and maybe the last time, man. Hey, what a way for us to close out the year. I'm very happy. I'm very excited. We need that. My word of the year for 2024 is elevation. And I think things just escalated here pretty quickly. But listen, man, the likes, comments, shares, comments, the questions, the tags and racist videos from other people, legends, all of it's greatly appreciated. You know what I'm saying? Look, the FBC community could not be what it is if you all did not participate. So we sincerely thank you. And look, hey man, we not one of those shows that because you disagree with us, it's we hate y'all, it's F y'all, never talk to us again. No, we appreciate the conversation. We appreciate the banter, the back and forth. This is a safe space to get your wrestling takes off because that's what keeps us talking about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So please come back. Keep talking. Just have more to say to me than watch 1983 Greg the Hammer Valentine matches. All right? That's my only request. That's it. Man, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Nasty Black Pick. VP DOC and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.